Presenting the world's greatest mysteries. And now, your host.
This is Basil Rathbone. Everybody loves a mystery, and I'm no exception. And that's why it gives me so much pleasure to act as your guide on this series. You see, we've gathered together some of the finest mystery stories in the world. Stories from many places and from many times. Some of them are up to date, well, as up to date as today's newspaper. Others are classic stories of the past. But today's mystery, for instance, it takes place in Europe, the Europe of modern times, a world of intrigue and suspense where a man's life can count for very little when a country's future is at stake. Mike, our storyteller, works in the Paris office of a famous American newspaper. His job is to look for the stories that make the news, and he finds them in the places where the news is made. In a moment, our play begins.
Presenting Europe Confidential.
Your cheek. Oh, Papa, what happened to your poor cheek? That terrible scar.
An accident, Therese. Another reason why you must not stay. It is impossible. You understand the situation, Mike?
Yeah,
what
but look...
situation? Why should not a daughter be with her papa?
It is impossible. You will go back to school like a good girl. Or to our relatives in Naples.
No.
Therese?
No. I will never leave you, even if you don't want me around.
In a moment, we'll bring you Lionel Merton as Mike Conoy, the Paris correspondent of a famous American newspaper, in another exciting story in our series, Europe Confidential.
Hi, this is Mike Conoy. I'd come to Termina in Sicily for a holiday. For once, I wasn't looking for a story, or at least I didn't think I was. Anyway, I'd no sooner entered my room at the San Domenico Hotel when a long-bladed Sicilian knife whistled past my ear and wickedly winked at me from the bedpost. Well, since I was naturally somewhat curious, I turned around. Quick. There in the doorway was a man. A man I'd known some years previously when our paths had crossed during the Allied invasion of Italy. A man who'd helped me out of some pretty tight spots in the period before the Italian surrender. He was a slim man with pale brown hair, pale monkey eyes, and the face of a tragedian. Although several years had passed since I'd last seen him, I recognized him at once. Tony. Antonio Vegas. Of course, it is you, Tony.
Mike, you old devil. What brings you to Taormina?
Oh, the climate and a certain weariness. And you?
Simple. The circus is playing here.
A circus in Sicily?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that bringing coals to Newcastle?
Well, not everyone is laughing and happy in Sicily. And clowning is my peacetime business. I was born to make people laugh.
Ah, yes, I remember. I also seem to remember that you were born a fairly accomplished crook, too.
No, Mike. I have a certain talent for crime, perhaps sleight of hand, facility with a knife, but not the heart. No, I'm afraid I'm an honest man, Mike.
Well, all the more reason to be my guest tonight, Tony. Share the pleasure of my first night in Taormina.
To the contrary, you shall be mine.
Oh?
I'll serve you Sicilian pasties for hot dogs and champagne for pink lemonade. I'll introduce you to every freak on the Midway and seat you in a box for the main show. How would you like that?
I would like. Yes, Tony, I'll be happy to accept your invitation to the circus. Who could ask for a better host than a clown?
Signore
e signora,
see the failure, Nola, Antonio, the great clown, and the freak, the fat one, the thin one, the funny one with the dog face.
Well, Mike, how are you enjoying your Sicilian hot dog?
Great, Tony. Buy me a big fat green balloon, will you?
If you eat any more, you will be the big fat balloon, my friend, and perhaps green, too.
Good to see you again, Tony. Say, how long has it been? 10, 12 years?
And 12 times around the world. Come, Mike. I want you to meet someone.
The way he said that intrigued me. We left the Midway crowd, the lights, the blaring calliope, the manufactured gaiety of the herd, and the smell and growl of jungle beasts came to me. We approached a small dressing tent, and the clown humbly called for his friend.
Nola. Nola, are you in there?
You again, Antonio. What is it?
I want to see you.
You will see me later. Go away.
But I have a surprise for you, Nola. A wonderful surprise.
A surprise? A present, perhaps?
The canvas flap snapped back, and she stepped into the yellow glare of the lamps. Nola. Hair as black as though it had been poured out of an ink bottle. Body sinuous, graceful, like a cat's. Yes, she was like a cat. And her ice-gray eyes flared strangely when she looked at me.
So, this is your wonderful surprise, Antonio?
Nola, this is Mike Conoy, my friend.
I'm always happy to meet a friend.
The way she said it, the way she was looking at me, made it seem like we were all alone, just Nola and me. I knew her kind of female only too well. I also knew that Tony was in for a bad time. Funny thing, you know, he knew it too. He told me about it a little while later, while he was putting on his clown makeup.
So, you feel sorry for me, Mike?
Well, I don't feel sorry for anybody, one way or the other. But if you fancy Nola for yourself, you're a chump.
I know, I know.
Oh, and you like to be kicked in the teeth, huh?
Look at me, my friend. What is there about me for a woman to love? But there is a great deal about Nola to love.
Uh-huh. To admire, to desire, yes, but to love,
You're forgetting something.
I am?
All clowns suffer. Paint a smile on their face to hide a broken heart.
Oh, listen, Tony, don't be trite.
Nola's like a fever in the blood, a disease. She's not good for me, perhaps, but the pain of loving her is better than the ecstasy of loving any other woman. But the show is about to begin. Help me with my wig, Mike.
Yeah, there you are.
Thank you. Now, am I not the funny man?
Yeah, very funny.
See you later, my friend. Now Antonio must go to clown and dance like a puppet.
Yeah, while Nola pulls the strings. It wasn't a very big circus, but it looked like the greatest thing on earth to the Taormina audience. They laughed at Tony's antics till they cried. They oohed and aahed at the trapeze performers and gasped at Nola's animal act. And then came the grand climax.
Signore, you've seen the beautiful Nola command the tigers, the pumas, the lions, the lions.
And so he did. Entering the main animal cage, Tony pantomimed his bravery to the crowd. He cracked his whip. He strutted. He proved, to himself at least, that he was afraid of absolutely nothing on four legs. Then a smaller cage was rolled in and opened onto the main cage. Another clown, in the costume of a black puma, sprang inside with Tony. At first, my friend was terrified. Then he saw the puma was as frightened as he was. They made friends. They waltzed around the cage together as the audience screamed with laughter. It was as simple as that. But Tony's clowning was touched with genius. And by conquering his fear in the shape of the puma, he put a happy ending to his story, and everyone went home smiling. Everyone but Tony. I saw him after the show, waiting for Nola, as she ran from the main tent, still carrying her animal whip.
Nola! Nola!
Get out of my way.
But Nola, I must talk to you.
Take your hands off me. Let me go.
Her whip, cruel and quick as a puma's claw, cut across his face. I could see a livid wheal rising under the clown white. But Tony took it silently, just looked after Nola with tragic eyes. Then he saw me.
You will excuse me tonight, my friend. Tomorrow I'll come to the hotel. Tomorrow.
I returned to my hotel room to do some thinking, and suddenly there was a knock on my door.
Come in.
You are Mr. Mike Conoy?
I am.
I am Therese.
Enchanting.
You will invite me in? I would sit with you.
Yes, of course. Come right in, Therese.
I will sit here?
Yeah, if you like.
Tell me, please, do you know Antonio Vega?
Antonio Vegas? Oh, Tony, sure I do. But why do you ask?
Well, you see, I am his daughter.
What?
The hotel manager told me that Papa was here to see you this afternoon. He said you were his old friend. And I have come to you, Mr. Conoy. I could not find Papa. He wrote me he was going to be here. He's a traveling salesman, you know. So when school closed for the vacation, instead of staying there as usual, I thought I'd come here and surprise Papa.
Yeah, Papa and me.
Hasn't he told you about me?
Yes, of course.
Then you know where he is. I can go to him.
It so happens that your father's coming to the hotel tomorrow, Therese. Why don't you wait for him here and really surprise him, huh? Therese didn't know her father's real profession any more than I'd known Tony had a daughter. Well, I breakfasted with the young lady on the terrace, and while we were making very pleasant small talk...
Mike, is that you?
Huh?
Oh, pardon me, you are busy.
Papa! Oh, Papa!
Well, go on, kiss her, Tony. I'm sure I would if I had such a daughter.
Oh, it's so wonderful to see you, Papa, to be with you again.
Kitten, you should have stayed at school.
You're not glad to see me?
Well, of course, my darling, but you see, my work, I have so little time... That's why I always visited you instead of you coming to see me.
Oh, it's only one little minute a day. It's worth it, Papa, just to be near you.
Oh, have a heart, Tony. She'll have me in tears soon.
Your cheek. Oh, Papa, what happened to your poor cheek? That terrible scar.
An accident, Therese, is another reason why you must not stay. It's impossible. Well, you understand the situation, Mike.
Yeah, but look,
Tony... What situation? Why should not a daughter be with her papa?
It is impossible. You will go back to school like a good girl. Or to our relatives in Naples.
No.
Therese.
No. I will never leave you. Even if you don't want me around.
Well, just who won that round, Tony?
What can I do, my friend?
Why not tell her the truth?
And bring her shame? Therese thinks of me as a businessman, dignified, honorable. What would she say if her father told her he was a clown?
Well, you must remember, Tony, that Therese is 16. She's not going to hold still for boarding school and relatives in Naples. She wants a taste of life.
There is something else you do not know, Mike.
Oh?
I said I was an honest man, my friend. That is not true.
What do you do? Pick the pockets of the other clowns?
I smuggle emeralds.
Again?
No, smuggled emeralds. It was for her, Mike, Therese.
How could I support her in such a fine fashion? Good clothes, private schools, and the earnings of a clown in a wandering circus. No, I've been very successful in the smuggling trade, but very careful. Over the years, I've saved a small fortune. And now I want to ask you a favor.
Well, you know I'd do anything for you, Tony.
It's for Therese when she reaches 21. If anything should happen to me before, you see that she gets it.
I see, but why be so morbid?
The way things are lately with my life, with Nola, I think my luck's changed.
Oh, don't be silly, Tony. But if it'll make you any happier, I'll gladly do what you ask.
Thank you. Come to the circus again tomorrow night, Mike. I'll show you where my savings are hidden.
Okay, and Therese?
I will think of something. Better her heart should break a little now than learn the truth about me and...
All right. I'll meet you tomorrow night, Tony. I didn't exactly like the way things were going, and I spent all day and evening trying to think of a way out for Tony, without reaching any brilliant conclusions, I might say. So I finally decided to let tomorrow take care of itself. That night, I was soundly asleep when... What the devil do you mean, waking a man in the middle of the night?
This is Mr. Conoy, Mr. Mike Conoy.
Yes, yes. Who's this calling?
Here is Signor Borgia, Custodio Termina, Department of Public Safety.
The police? What do you want?
You will do the great favor to me of coming to my office within the hour, Mr. Conoy.
I'll do nothing of the sort, Borgia. Not without knowing what you want.
You will come or you will be come for.
Yeah, well, in that case, I'll do you the great favor, Custodio Borgia.
Your generosity is exceeded only by your wisdom, Signor. Within the hour.
Yeah. Experience has taught me never to argue with a policeman. So I visited the Questori. I found him a small, alert man, all spit and polish, and he eyed me like a hungry robin views a fat worm.
Sit down, Signor Conoy. Now, you are a friend of Antonio Vegas, huh?
Well, yeah, but Tony must have many friends.
Too many, of the wrong kind. Now, just what do you know about him?
Well, I know that Tony's a good clown.
And a smart one. His buffoon makeup hides more than the proverbial broken heart, no?
Does it?
Vegas has a smuggling ring. Emeralds. Are you trying to tell me you know nothing about the traffic?
My dear Borgia, I'm here in Sicily on holiday. I know nothing about it whatsoever.
But you are an old friend of this Vegas. For many years you do not meet. Then suddenly you arrive here where Antonio happens to be.
Well, you're imagining things, Castori. As you've just said, I haven't seen or heard of Antonio for years.
Very well, then. If what you say is true, I have no reason to hold you. But we are almost ready to arrest Vegas. So you will be watched. And also, do not try to warn your friend. He will never leave Taormina.
Well, there are worse places to live.
Good morning, Signor Conoy.
In spite of the Castori's warning, I went to Tony's dressing room that night as arranged, and he showed me his fortune, all tucked away under a false bottom of his costume trunk.
Now that you know where the money is hidden, Mike, I'll replace the bottom.
Now, I can't help but think that you should leave me out of this, Tony. Send the nest egg to the relatives in Naples.
I don't trust them. And here is something else for you to see, hidden in this bladder I use for one of my props.
Emeralds. Mm-hmm. Perfect cut. Some as big as robin's eggs.
Yes, Mike, I deal in nothing but the finest merchandise.
Well, look, I must warn you, Tony, there are those who...
Mr. Vegas is in this tent.
Si, senorina.
Therese!
She must have followed me here.
Quick, quick, help me to hide these.
Papa, I have found you.
Yes, Therese, you have found me. And now you know what your father really is.
He's the best...
clown! I think it is too wonderful. Oh, Papa, did you think I would look down on you because you were a clown in a circus? Oh, it is much finer than to be a traveling salesman. Oh, are you angry because I found you out?
How can I be angry with you, Keaton? I love you too much.
Of course he does. And now we must go, Therese. Come on, I'll take you back to the hotel.
Oh, no, please. Papa, do not send me away. I love the circus. I love you.
Mike, what can I do?
Well, give her a pass to the show, I guess. I'll take charge of it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. What can I do to help?
Oh, am I intruding, Antonio?
Nola.
There were no introductions as Nola came into the tent. I took Therese out of there as soon as possible, but before we left, I caught Nola's eyes on the emeralds. They narrowed like a cat's. That lady knew her way around gems as well as any man. All in all, the climate of Termina had suddenly become very unhealthy, and I'd have left the place that night if Borgia's bloodhounds hadn't been guarding every point of exit. But Tony found a way out of town.
Why is Papa going into that animal cage, Mr. Conoy?
Well, he's pretending he's a cat trainer like Nola.
Oh.
You see how brave he is?
Look. Oh, how funny he is. How wonderful is my Papa.
Tony's funniest routine began. He was giving the greatest performance of his life because his daughter was in the audience. The puma cage was wheeled up to the main cage, and the door opened. Out came the puma. But no costumed clown, this one. A very large, very live, and very vicious cat sprang into Tony's cage and stood there a moment, lashing its tail and blinking in the lights. In that moment, before it sprang at my old friend, I saw Nola's face watching from the tent entrance, her eyes wide, her lips drawn back in an animal snarl, her hands stretched out before her like claws as though she were about ready to attack.
No! No! Help!
It was all over very quickly, and for once in my life, I was glad to see the police. The puma was shot and killed, Nola was apprehended, and what was left of Antonio Vegas was taken to the hospital tent. As I said, he'd found a way out of Termina. The hard way.
Don't cry, Kitten. It was an accident.
No, it was no accident. Like the scar on your cheek. She did it. She did it.
I did nothing. It was an accident. The cages were switched.
Yeah, but I knew better. The police chief, Castori Borgia, had arrived, so I turned to him. I can prove differently, Questori.
You, Signor Conoy?
He lies.
Antonio Vegas is my friend, madame. If you can understand the word. Why should I lie? I saw you switch the cages deliberately.
No. No. No, I did not.
And
I
know
not.
Why, too.
Mike.
It was because of jealousy.
Jealous? Jealous of that clown?
Stop it! Stop it! You shall not laugh at my papa!
Your papa?
Thank you, Mike. Remember your promise.
Well, there goes a noble guy. Lola didn't know about the relationship, Borgia. She merely knew that her suitor was interested in this beautiful young girl.
He lies! He lies! I killed him because he...
You will be pleased to come with me, madame.
Well, Borgia and the Department of Public Safety was happy. They had a murderess. The smuggling was ended. I kept my promise, too. On the way to the hospital tent, I had the foresight to pick up Tony's fortune and savings and the emeralds from his dressing tent. And I sent them with Therese to the relatives in Naples. And so died a clown. And the painted smile on his face was the saddest thing I ever hoped to see.
Thank you.
been listening to Lionel Merton as Mike Conoy in another exciting episode in the series, Europe Confidential.
This is Basil Rathbone again. We've reached the end of today's story, but I'll be back to introduce to you another unusual tale. Remember, for this series, we've searched the whole world to bring you stories of every kind. Tales of espionage, suspense, crime, and intrigue. By famous writers from every part of the globe. In fact, a selection of the finest stories that have ever been assembled in one series. Well, goodbye now till we meet again to listen to another of the world's greatest mysteries.